This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, Canada. Sacchino Weeks, Golf Talk Canada. Did you hear that? That calmness, that quietness, Bob?
Yes.
That's the PG Tour not golfing.
Yeah.
That is what we like to call the official off-season of the PGA Tour.
And yet there's still golf being played around the world.
Yes. Well, we can't control all the tours, but at least the golf being played this week makes sense. We're almost ready to turn the calendar into December. So if you're going to be golfing in late November this time of year, it makes sense that you would maybe be down under for summer in Australia.
Yep.
Where Jason Day right now has a one-shot lead with one round to go, an opportunity to win his national championship.
102nd Emirates Australian Open. That's pretty good. Yeah. There's some good players there. There's a tournament going on in Hong Kong.
So there's still some golf.
And there's some guy's going to play this week. I can't remember his name. He hasn't played in a while.
I don't know. Scully's picking him to win all four majors. I'm getting the thumbs up from behind the glass. Yes, Mr. Woods makes his return this week at his own event. The Hero World Challenge, which is from the Albany Club in the Bahamas.
Nice spot.
Yeah, lovely spot. So, obviously, normally an 18-person field event does not get this kind of hype, but I'm curious. I'm going to be interested to see the amount of non-golf outlet attention this week, Bob. Like what the sports centers do and what the papers do and just what, you know, people who don't normally lead with golf or go to golf early, not saying that Tiger will lead because, you know, we are in hockey and football season and there are things going on, but I think you're going to see more golf this week for this time of year. It's going to be shocking.
Without a doubt. I mean, you just have to go back a year, right? And this is where he made his shortened return last year as well at the same time, and there was a lot of attention, as you say, not that you'd usually get at the end of November. But everyone wants to know. He's still a topic of interest. He's still a concern. Everyone wants to know, and everyone has an opinion whether he's going to be great or not. But from, you know, Brandel Chambly to Jack Nicklaus, there's no shortage of opinions out there or prop bets, as we know.
Yes. Well, we're going to get to Tiger, and we're going to get to Tiger early today in news and headlines. So before we get there, though, Adam Hadwin did a one-on-one with Bob, two-parter that we're going to run for you this morning. Talked a little bit about the year that was and the year that is upcoming for Adam Hadwin, as well as maybe some changes to his short game. And that'll be interesting here. Great year for Adam Hadwin, the 59, the win, playing all four majors, President's Cup performance. Quite the breakout season for Adam Hadwin. Also, winners, weird and what. We'll do some leaderboard updates from the world of golf. I've got an interesting story about a personal experience I had this week, reversing Father Time at Extreme Tour Golf with Lindsay Knowlton. Wow. So we'll get into that a little bit. What else? Oh, we've got to let everybody know that we will be on location at the WeatherTech Automotive Accessory Store in Burlington on December the 9th for a live remote, and we've got some information on why you should come out and see us at that. But before we get to all that, let's do some news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
Well, well. Speaking of Tiger and Jason Day. Let's wait, the nightclub's got to end here. Oh, there it goes. That was exhausting.
Sit down after that little twirl.
I was exhausted by that. Speaking of Jason Day and Tiger Woods, Jason Day was asked in a presser this week, obviously doing a lot of media this week as the really the face of Australian golf. Has he spoken to Tiger? And we know that Jason and Tiger are really good friends.
Yeah, they're pals, for sure.
And he suggested in that interview, and I'm summarizing, but that Tiger is pain-free and is feeling better than he has in over 3 years, Bob. And he also suggested he's hitting it an absolute mile as well, which Ricky Fowler suggested 2 weeks ago when he was down at Mayakoba. saying that he was practicing with Tiger at the Medalist Club, and Tiger was hitting it way by him. So what do we put in this these comments from Jason Day? Are they just feel-good sound bites, or is there something really going on here?
There seems to be more definitive positive comments about Tiger's game this year than last year. Last year, I sort of felt that there was a lot of people sort of either they hadn't seen Tiger playing, or there was sort of, well, he's got to get his game back. He's into tournament mode.
Mm-hmm. But more caution.
Yeah, this year everyone seems to be, wow, look at this. Look how far he's hitting it. Look how much he's playing.
Right.
Look what he's doing. So that still doesn't transpire into anything more than until he steps onto the first tee and hits it. But I think I'm a little more bullish on his return this time.
Well, and we'll get into that a little later as well in Winners, Weird, and What, because some of that bullishness has spread into Vegas, which has shocked yours truly, because I'm absolutely shocked. So, Tommy Fleetwood, great year, great actually 24-month kind of run for Tommy Fleetwood that has culminated in a victory for the Race to Dubai. So he wins the European Tour's version of the FedEx Cup. And I guess a guy that was on our radar, you and I picked him a couple times last year, as well as the Open Championship. We really liked him because he grew up down the road from the venue. But great season, and he's playing well again this week.
I picked him at all the wrong times last year.
That's what we do.
Exactly, like Augusta. But he is, you're right, he's a good, solid player. He's had a kind of a breakout year, although he has been on the radar for a little bit. He's got the great hockey hair. I'm sure they don't call it that over in the UK.
Yeah, what do they call? What do you think they call the Alabama waterfall in the UK? What do you think?
The Manchester mullet.
The Manchester mullet. I like that. That's perfect.
But between him and like Tyrrell Hatton, I think kind of had a big year early going. There's some notable guys out there. Now I'm not sure. You know, we'll get into Ryder Cup talk when it gets more of that time, but these are the guys who are going to be leading the international team.
Well, and it's interesting.
Not the international, the European team.
I mean, it's interesting you mention that because I think the world better get used to losing to Team USA for a while. And I do believe that. But top three in the world go like this right now. Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. So those are your three top players in the world according to the official World Golf Ranking. After the top three, Europe has made a huge push in the last couple of weeks with names like Rose and Rahm and Fleetwood and
Garcia.
So Europe, you know what? It's going to be fun this year. I'm looking forward to Ryder Cup this year. It's going to be a fun one down the road in Paris in fall of 2018. Okay, on the flip side of the coin, Tommy Fleetwood ends his season on a high. He didn't win the tournament, but he, you know, wins the Race to Dubai. Similar happenings on the LPGA Tour. Lexi Thompson wins the race to the CME Globe, doesn't win the tournament. But that's not the story, Bob. Did you see the 2-foot putt she missed for the double dip? Lexi Thompson, 2 feet to win the tournament, as well the overall season race. And she misses it.
Wow, she missed it badly, too. She pushed it way up.
Didn't even touch the hole.
Never came close to the hole. And you got to think there's some nerves in it. And that's not, obviously, the first time she's kind of missed it. She's had some highs and lows.
Rough year this year with the penalty.
The consolation is she does get the $1 million in the season-ending wrap-up thing. She doesn't win the tournament. But, yeah, it left a lot on the table.
When you think of what could have been this year with the ball marking incident and the penalty and the fact that she misses this, and this was also to get to number one in the world. If she had won, she also would have taken over official world number one. So, you know, you got to have a short memory in this game. So hopefully for Lexi, she does. I feel she does. You know, Phil Mickelson has a great quote that once in a while you'll catch him saying. He doesn't say it too often. You know, but he says you either got to be really, really, really smart to play this game or really, really, really stupid to play this game, right?
Exactly.
Because if you get caught in the middle, you're done, right?
It's so hard to get over something like that. But look at old little IK Kim, who missed one that was like even shorter than Lexi's, and she came back and played well. But I think Lexi is going to be a breakout player if she's not already considered. I mean, I guess you can't really call her breakout, but I think she's going to be the dominant American golfer in the world for the next 5, 7, 10 years.
She would have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she would absolutely have to be. And finally, Jake Owens, country western star. Now, I'm unfamiliar with Jake Owens' music. I know the name. I'm not a big country western guy.
Okay.
Which, you know, is probably shocking to you sitting across every morning from an Italian that we're not big on country music.
Well,
Italian.
You were just dancing to the disco music.
It's more Italian, right?
Right?
To all my friends north of Toronto up in Woodbridge, they would understand that. They would understand my friends and family up there. But Jake Owens going to play on a sponsor's exemption at the Nashville Open. This is on the heels of the success that Steph Curry had.
Sure.
And that would, I would go out and suggest, without really thinking about this, which is scary. I'm opening up my mouth with no statistics or any thought to this comment whatsoever. But Bob, for me, Steph Curry is really the only, we've seen these exemptions in the past, like Jerry Rice, yada, yada. The Steph Curry experiment was a success, I thought. I think he played well. He didn't look completely out of place. Like, Steph Curry, I thought that was the best example of this. I don't know where this Jake Owens is, if it's going to be as successful.
I think it's going to be very successful. First of all, I've seen him play a little bit at Pebble, you know, in the Pro-Am.
Yes.
He's a good player. He's a scratch player, legitimate good player.
Not a Hollywood scratch.
No, like a legit scratch. Right. But he's playing in Nashville. He's huge in Nashville,
That's
right?
a good point.
You know, he's a big guy down there, so I think I think you're going to see that.
This
he's
would be
have
like
the same...
you getting a sponsor's exemption if the Canadian Open was in Etobicoke.
Yeah,
you're
right.
The legions of fans
exactly.
that would come
Three
out and
of
follow
them.
You.
But I think Jake Owen is a guy who is a legitimate enough star that he'll have some power, and that's what these exemptions are all about.
Yes.
They're not about the guy playing great golf. They're about bringing fans out to the golf
Totally.
Course.
And hopefully the person doesn't embarrass themselves, and by the sound of it, you're fairly comfortable that that's
I
not
think
gonna
you'll
happen.
Play okay.
Finally, a news and headlines. More Tiger. Tiger and DJ played a little golf with the President of the United States this week. A quick round, it was quoted, before he gets back to bringing more jobs to America, was the official tweet by Donald Trump. And it's interesting because you followed up with this on Twitter and you got some great responses. So go, Bob. What did you tweet out and what did you get back?
So we tweeted out yesterday. I said, those three are going to play together. Who would you, living or dead, put in as your fourth? And you can go to my feed and you can look through the answers. There's some pretty good ones. Everyone from Rodney Dangerfield to Lee Harvey Oswald to the first person who had the Ebola virus to OJ to, I mean, there's all sorts of them on there. I'm going to put it out there again. We'll put it out on the Golf Talk Canada
handle.
Okay. All
right.
And you tell us who you, I could tell you who actually ended up being the fourth, which was Brad Faxon.
Was it really?
But you know, if you had to put a fourth in with DJ Tiger and the president,
who
would
it
be?
I know a lot of the answers are going to be not myself.
Yeah. Actually, there was a lot of people who said me. I was surprised.
Me.
Yeah, a lot
there
of people.
Go. Well, you know, it's the division in the country,
it's right?
There's a big division.
There's
so.
Certainly enjoyment factor or just like experience factor
experience
playing
factor.
In those with those three guys.
All right. Well, listen, on the other side, we're going to hear from Adam Hadwin. Bob went one-on-one with the breakout season from Adam Hadwin and take a look back on 2017, what's coming up in 2018. There's some interesting tidbits in there about maybe some short games changes coming.
He got a new dog.
New dog?
That's exciting.
Always very exciting.
Or his wife did anyway.
That's right. Well, yeah, exactly. That's right. So we're going to get into that next. We're going to do Winner's Row. Lots to come still on Golf Talk Canada. More coming next. This GTC.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Zacchino, Weeks in studio.
You forgot to mention we have a live audience today.
Yeah, Angry Mike in studio with us this morning.
Keeping us in order.
Yeah. Survived the Bannon Dunes trip.
It's a survival, the way you were talking about it.
It was survival.
Yeah.
It was. We ended up getting some very lucky with some decent weather, but just the getting there, it's an adventure, but well worth it. But you know who else is well worth it? Adam Hadwin. What a season he had. He had a win. He had a 59. He played in all four majors, a trip to the President's Cup, a real breakout season for Canadian Adam Hadwin. Bob went one-on-one. Here's part one, Weeks and Hadwin, right here on GTC.
And here's Adam Hadwin, fresh off a wonderful season and into a nice deserving break. And I know you're cooped up in warm Arizona here as we get the chill across northern part of the country here. As you look back now on the year that was, and so many things happened, so many breakthrough moments occurred for you over the season, how do you kind of wrap it all up in your mind?
Yeah, you know, obviously the year didn't end the way that I would have wanted. Sort of the last half of the year was a bit of a struggle and had a few bright spots there at a couple of events. But, you know, overall, it certainly wasn't the play that was happening in the first half of the year. And You know, I was definitely looking forward to a break, and you know, kind of at the end there, it didn't even feel like I deserved a break the way I was flying. But no, you know, you get some time to kind of relax a little bit and give thought to what went on this year. And you know, it was an incredible season. You know, everything kind of came together. I played some of the best golf of my career. Well, the best golf of my career from a consistency basis. And more than anything, it just kind of, I don't know, not proven to the world or proven to Canada, but sort of more than anything proven to myself that, you know, I know that if I keep working on the right things and keep doing what I'm doing, that I'm going to be able to compete with the best players in the world at, you know, at the best events on the best golf courses. And it's a spot that, you know, I'd like to be for the rest of my career.
How tough is it to kind of wrap your head around? You talked about the kind of the slow second half, but how tough is it to wrap your head around the fact that as good as you played in the first half, you'd simply, and probably no golfer rather than perhaps Tiger and Jack, can kind of keep that level of play for an entire season, or has not been able to at this point?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's incredible. You look at the guys like DJ and Jordan and Rory when he was going through it, and Jason when he was winning everything. I mean, you know, I was playing at a high level, and I've, you know, finished in top 20. You know, they're winning seven times in 25 events. So, I mean, it's incredible. You know, the stamina that you have to kind of play at that highest level week in and week out. You know, I was experiencing a little bit of the media, I guess, once I started to play a little bit better, especially those two events at Valspar and Bay Hill. But, you know, they're going through that every week. They're going through that every week. You know, time management and everything's got to be so spot on. And I've been able to sort of get away with, you know, maybe being a little bit lax in that department at times. But, you know, the professionalism that they have to bring in order to be the top player is extremely amazing. And it's an underrated ability, you know, once you get there, A, to get there, and B, to be able to maintain it. And, you know, obviously I got a taste of it this year, cracking into the top 50 in the world this year. And, you know, it's a pretty sweet spot to be in, for sure. You know, you get to plan a schedule, you get to play the second season that everybody talks about, where, you know, you get the majors and the WGCs, and, you're sort of playing the second schedule of the PGA Tour. But, it's about going out there now and getting better and learning from what I just went through, and, you know, increasing those high finishes, playing well in the WGCs and the majors this year, and sort of showing that it wasn't a flash in the pan. It wasn't just, you know, six or seven good events last year. It was, you know, I'm going to be here for a while, for a number of years.
How do you plan your year, and how will your year next year, or the, I guess you've already started it, but going through to 2018, how will it look different? And how will you approach it differently than you did this year? Obviously, the schedule changes.
Yeah, I mean, schedule changes a little bit. You know, the nicest thing, the easiest thing, is that I can plan the schedule and know that I'm in the events. That's the biggest thing. Whereas, you know, even the previous 2 years, you know, event like the Memorial or Bay Hill, I wasn't in yet. I had to sort of see how the year was going, whether or not I played well, whether or not I was going to get into my number, that type of thing. So even events like that, I know that I'm going to be in. You know, obviously the WGCs now, I can plan to be there. Outside of the match play, which, you know, is obviously a goal to stay inside the top 64 so I can qualify for that. But, you know, and same thing with the majors. So you can put those big events on the schedule, and then you can kind of plan the rest of events around that. And that's the first time in, you know, in 3 years that I've been able to do that. So, this is great. It's exciting. The other thing that's going to lend is I'm going to be able to stick to a schedule. So I'm going to be able to say, this is my schedule. These are when my weeks off are, and stick to it. Whereas the last few years, I've kind of been flying by the seat of my pants a little bit. How do I feel? Am I tired? Do I need a week off? That type of thing. So this is going to be the first year where I'm actually going to, you know, put a schedule down. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to play these events, whether I'm playing poorly, whether I'm playing well. And then this is the practice plan to make sure that I don't play poorly.
Adam Hadwin talking a little bit about 2017 and the plan moving ahead to 2018. We'll get more into 2018 coming up next. It'll be part two of Weeks and Hadwin right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, Zucchino Weeks. Lots to get to still this morning. Got winners, weird and what from Bob and I. We will do leaderboard updates. Not much going on around the world of golf, but the Australian Open as well as the Hong Kong Open. Jason Day with a chance to win his national championship. I've got a bit of a story about a personal experience this week that I'd like to share because I think it'll help the golfers out there. And also, I have a rant in Winners, Weird, and What. Thank you to the USGA and Mike Davis for always poking the bear. But before we get to all that, Bob went one-on-one with Adam Hadwin this week. Here's part two as we take a look forward to Adam Hadwin's 2018.
So you've been able to plan things like honeymoons and stuff like that.
Huh. You know what? You know, this 2017 year has been an extremely big year for me, you know, personally and professionally. And, you know, I feel like 2018 is going to be nice because there's no planning of anything. The honeymoon's over, the wedding's over. You know, we've got a dog now, so that's settled down. You know, we can just get out there and focus on golf finally.
That's great. I saw you at the first event of the season last year at Safeway in Napa, and you told me that the one thing you wanted to try and improve upon was into the greens and around the greens, and if you could move that statistically up marginally, you'd probably have a pretty good year, which you did. Is there something you're looking at going into 2018 that you want to sharpen up a little bit?
You know, to be quite honest, it's pretty much the same thing, just get marginally better again. You know, I think I did a really good job, especially, I mean, I'm sure that if I broke down the statistics from the first half and the second half of last year, that they got significantly worse in those two categories and partly why I played poorly. But certainly that first half was great. You know, I came out, started hitting more greens. Obviously, the putter stayed well. I mean, yes, you can say the putter got a little bit worse. But, I mean, if you're staying in the top 40 in the putting category on PGA Tour, you'll have some success. So, for me, again, it's just looking at, you know, being consistent with the iron play a little bit more frequently, you know, instead of having good weeks and bad weeks, just, you know, continuing, instead of the bad weeks being as bad as they are, if I can get those marginally better, and then still improving on the short game. That's still been an area of mine that has lacked throughout the years and going through puberty still, I guess. You know, I'm still trying to get better. I'm still working my butt off on it. You know, just whether it's maybe different grasses, different courses, or maybe just spending a little bit more time during practice rounds, whatever the case, I mean, Ralph and I'll put together a practice plan and we'll just keep getting better. You know, and then the other side of things, just improve upon the time management, get my rest when I need it, and just get better from all aspects.
You talk about time management. How much now, as you're more or less the top Canadian amongst the group that's out there on the PGA Tour, which is a pretty good and a pretty deep group these days, how much more demand is there on your time for things outside of the golf course?
It certainly has increased a little bit. I haven't seen, you know, too much of it just yet. I'm sure as the season kind of unfolds and, you know, have a few good events again and kind of get back on track that, you know, throughout the year, you know, sponsors might want to use it a little bit more. I've been pretty lucky. I think, you know, I've got some great partners and, they haven't come calling too many of their days just yet, which has been great. Well, I shouldn't say it's been great, but it's been nicer on my time, throughout the years, but I'm sure that'll increase as time goes on and, But that's, you know, that's part of the game. That's part of what we do. It's also exciting for me. I get to do some stuff outside of the golf course and enjoy it. You know, do some photo shoots, whether it be for Callaway or Levelware or, you know, RBC or whatever. So, it's part of the game that, you know, sometimes it's not always fun, but it, you know, for the most part it is.
And I mean, a guy who sort of went through that before you was a guy you spent some time with in October at the President's Cup in Mike Weir. How did your relationship with him change, strengthen, whatever, over that experience?
It was great. You know, I think more than anything, we just kind of got to know each other a little bit better. You know, being able to spend some time with him off the course in such a social setting, playing some ping pong, having a beer, you know, just sitting down for dinners with him and just, you know, getting to know him a little bit better and you know, his story and his life and all that kind of stuff. It just kind of brought us a little bit closer. And, you know, Mike's had such a great career and probably, you know, up to this point, probably the best Canadian golfer that we've had, at least from the male perspective anyways. And, you know, that's certainly something to kind of chase a little bit. You know, chase his records and his wins and see if you can't top his major total. But that's great. Somebody that, you know, certainly if I ever needed anything, he's just a, you know, a text or a phone call away. You know, he told me not to hesitate to ask him anything. And, you know, what would be great is we talked at the President's Cup, being able to maybe spend some time together at some point and talk about the short game, because he's kind of that guy. I mean, he's, you know, world renowned for his wedges and how good it was and how good they were. And I mean, to this day still are. So, you know, for a guy who struggles basically with his wedges, you can't get a much better guy to kind of learn from. So
be pretty good. It's almost Christmas time. You guys have, I'm sure, a busy schedule now that you have a young one at home in a four-legged furry one.
Yeah.
What's the plan for the Hadwin team for Christmas?
Yeah, you know what? We've had a couple months off now. It's been great. Since the end of October, we're hanging around Phoenix for a little bit. We've got our honeymoon finally, first week of December. And then we are going back to Jess's home in Wichita for Christmas. So we'll spend like 4 or 5 days in Wichita and then come back before heading out to Maui a couple of days early, before we kick off the 2018 season at the Century Tournament of Champions.
Sounds good. We wish you all the best of luck and continued success. Thanks for spending some time with us.
No problems. Thanks, Bob.
Of course, Adam Hadwin in that winner's only field in Maui. Yours truly will be there, too. I've never been to Hawaii, Bob.
Did you win last year?
I did not win. I'm going to work. I'm going to call the action.
That's awesome.
It is a good gig. I'm looking forward to that. What did you pull from that? It was a great interview. You guys went for a good 12 minutes or so.
Yeah, I was surprised, actually, when producer Adam Scully told me how long that was, because we were just kind of chatting, and we were getting some stuff for our upcoming
special.
Best
yes.
holes.
Best top 18 in Canada.
That's
we
right.
will be unveiling on
and
Christmas.
Adam chimed in with that. But
yes.
Yeah, a couple things. One is that he's sort of considering that he might pick Mike Weir's head about short game. And Mike does have an all-world short game, because that's kind of the weak link in for Adam.
Right. It was also, Mike's bread and butter with those wedges winning that Masters. Remember?
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And also, I think the fact that he is he's kind of settled now after a busy last year, and now he can focus on one schedule, one routine. But I think he's also starting to find that he's going to get pulled this way and that way as the kind of top Canadian. And I think there's expectations, but I think he's ready for those right now.
Yeah, that's what I took as well. The fact that, yes, 2017 is a big year, you know, win 59, et cetera, et cetera. But when you consider the other things that are going to kind of be removed from his plate that were wonderful things, like marriage and yacht and honeymoons.
Racing to get the President's Cup team qualification.
You know, like, that's going to not be on his plate anymore. It might free him up to just be Adam Hadwin, the PGA Tour player.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. On the other side, some leaderboard updates from around the world of golf. We'll update you as well on a few Golf Talk Canada housekeeping items, but also a story. I want to tell you my experience.
It's a fascinating one.
Yes, at Tour Extreme Golf this week. So we'll get into that as well. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. There is some golf going on in the world. Although the PGA Tour is in the off season, they actually have one, Bob.
Like this 8 weeks or whatever, seven weeks we got here?
Yeah.
Maybe five.
You can't even include Christmas and New Year's. Like, no, that's exactly cheating, even counting those.
Exactly.
So, but let's start with what I think is the premier event happening on the globe this week, which would be the Australian Open. And
okay.
The face of Australian golf with a chance with 18 holes left.
Yes, the 102nd Australian Open. Jay Day has the lead. He shot a little two under today, being the third round. It's already over because they're down under, way ahead of us. And that gives him a one-shot lead over countryman Lucas Herbert, who, poor Lucas, was playing well. 67-66 to open. Hit a tee shot on one of the holes and went into some kind of funky bush, and they couldn't find it, so he had a lost ball. So a little penalty there. Jonas Blixt providing some non-Australian currency at the top of the leaderboard, too. He's at 7-under along with Matt Jones. A whole host of all the top Australian players in there. Of note, Mike Weir, unfortunately, way down the list. He missed the cut. Opened with a 77, but came back with a 69. And that score actually was one of the lower scores of the day, the 69. The top guys at the top of the leaderboard were in the lower 60s, but there were very few rounds better than Mike Weir's 69. In round two, unfortunately, but he's got the weekend off.
And going to try to play over the next few
weeks.
Going to
play in the PGA Championship in Australia as well. And then he's also going to go over to South Africa and play the South African Open.
Which is great. UBS Hong Kong Open is the kickoff to the new European Tour schedule. Very similar to how they do it in PGA Tour, where we wrap up the FedEx Cup and then the next week we kick off the new season. Same thing happens on the European Tour. SSP Chaurasia has the lead there at 10 under par. Cabrera Bello won back along with Ormsby. Lots of great players in the field. Tommy Fleetwood, who won the race to Dubai, only two off the lead. Again, only one round left to go in this one as well, seeing it's Hong Kong, so they've already got three in the book. Richard Lee and Austin Connolly, two Canadians in the field, unfortunately, both missed the cut this week on the European Tour. But look out for Austin Connolly this year. I have a feeling about him in 2018. Okay, Bob, I want to share a story with you here as we wind down our national hour on Golf Talk Canada. Lindsay Knowlton?
I do.
Iron Lady
Lindsay
golfer.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Lindsay, great player, great person, knows her stuff. I was lucky enough to be in Ireland with her a year or so ago with Dr. Petrov and a few other people on a trip.
Boondoggle, we call it.
Yes, a boondoggle. And was just very impressed with her game and just the way she could handle herself around these rugged conditions in Ireland and whatnot. And yours truly has been going through an interesting golf adventure the last few years, where I really haven't paid much attention to my golf. I don't play. Like, I just, like, you, I think you and I got out twice this year.
Yep.
I barely played any golf at all. One of the best rounds I did have all year happened to be with you and Adam very early in the year. But it's like, it's when lightning strikes. Like, you just never know when it's coming, right? And part of the problem is that, you know, I go through, you know, five different golf swings at any given time. And it could happen in any round. I could play 18
sometimes
holes.
All at once.
Yeah, I gotta have five golf swings, right? And the point of this story is that what you're doing, or what you think you're doing and what you're feeling, might not necessarily be what you actually are doing. And
oh, yeah.
The path that you believe you should be on may not necessarily be the path you should be on. So I went up to Tour Extreme Golf, and I saw Lindsay this week for an hour. And I saw her at 2:30 in the afternoon, and I opened up a can of worms. And I let her into the the psychotic kitchen that is Mark Zucchino's golf brain. I was concerned for her because I was concerned by the end of this conversation she would be in a straight jacket shooting heroin, okay? Because just, you know, how could you even, like the stuff that I was throwing at her.
Brains exploding.
How can you even make contact with all this going on in your head, Zucchino, right? So I walked her through my five golf swings, and I walked her through this, and I walked her through all that. And a lot of what I wanted to talk to her about is the fact that my swing speed has just vanished in the last 5 years. When I was late teens, early 20s, I was really high on the swing speed scale. And then it kind of came down and settled in around 110, which is still quite high. And then in the last few years, 103, 104, 105, 106 on a good day. And I just kind of assumed it was getting older. But I got on this path. Don't know how, don't know why. I got this feeling and this sensation that I needed to be connected. And as a left-hander, for all of you who are right-hander out there, for a left-hander, it is my left elbow being tucked to my side. And you'll see guys on the tour practice with a towel under their arm, right, and being connected. And this drill is very good for many things, okay? So I'm not saying it's not a good drill. But I got down this path, and I stuck with this path. What ended up happening for me is I lost all the width in my golf swing. And I got crammed at the golf ball. And that's why my speed was being lost. As well, my posture got worse over the last couple of years as my back injury got worse. So Lindsay and I identified this in about 10 to 15 minutes. We worked on my posture. And she started talking about width. And I said to her, out of the blue, you know, I used to do this when I swung the club very fast. And how I can explain it is, as a left-hander, the golf club feels like it goes to 11 o'clock on the way back. And it's actually going to 9 o'clock, and it gave me all this. Anyway, by the end of the long story here, the point of all this is, within an hour, my swing speed was 110, 111 again. And it was mechanical. Had nothing to do with getting old or being physically broken down. It had to do with thinking you're doing something and doing something different. And, you know, thinking you're on the right path when you're actually on the wrong path. So the reason for me telling the golf community who are listening to us this morning, this story, is not to tell you that I'm swinging it faster, although that's a bonus and I'm excited. The reason I'm telling you this is, if you care about your game and if you're practicing and you want to make sure you're doing right things. I'm not saying you got to be working with somebody every week and be spending thousands of dollars. But I'm saying this is that make sure you're on the right path. Get somebody you trust, an educated eye, CPGA professional, get to a facility like Tour Extreme Golf, where they have the state-of-the-art equipment, and take a look and make sure that what you think you're doing is what you're doing, one, because what you feel and what is actually happening can be completely two different things.
For sure.
And make sure the path that you believe is the right path that you should be on to practice, make sure someone validates that, and you have technology and a trained professional to validate that. Or you could end up like me. Who, you know, has, you know, I patch it together and I can fake it and I know how to put the ball in the hole so I can still shoot good scores. But you could be on a 3-4 year path headed in the wrong direction and it finally comes to a pinnacle where you're forced to take a look at it.
One of the other good things too about being able to do this over the winter is that, and I know this is not as much fun, but when you're hitting into a net, you're less worried about where the ball is going. You're more worried about what's happening with your swing, where you are. You don't really care. And you can, obviously, you can see trajectory now in ball flight on all sorts of
technology. Get your numbers and whatnot.
Right? And you can see it go down there. But I find that ball in the air is always a lot more distracting than you think.
I can't agree with you more, Bob. I started in the golf business when I was 15 years old back in 1990 at Dynamic Golf with Al Gooch, a young in Doncaster who you know.
Yes.
And we used to talk about it in 1990, hitting balls into just a net, saying, if you're going to make changes and you're going to work on your game and make actual swing changes, do them in the winter, because you're not married to the number on the scorecard in the winter. Exactly. And you know as well as I do, the minute you go out and try something new, there's a good chance that number is going to go north before it goes south, because it's awkward, it's new, it's uncomfortable.
Doesn't feel weird.
Yeah.
Or does feel weird.
Do it in the winter. Do it now. It's part of the advantage of playing golf in the Northern Hemisphere, in the upper states,
and
in Canada, etc.
There's lots of great places like Tour Extreme Golf out there that'll do it. And then we've got one even except my own club, Mark.
Yes, you guys run a great winter clinic at Wesson.
And that stuff, it's good. There's lots of places where you can go.
So thank you, Lindsay Knowlton. And I will see you again this week, Lindsay. And thank you, Tour Extreme
Golf. Hopefully she's recovered by then.
Yeah, well, I think she was actually happy. happy at the end because after the psychotic conversation and meltdown, we actually saw results. So she was like, this is going to be fun. So there you go. So thank you, Lindsay, and thank you, TXG. So get out there and check it out. We'll say goodbye now to our national audience, unless you're listening in some select markets, including Hamilton at 1150, TSN 1050, online at the iHeartRadio app or online at TSN. There's going to be 30 more minutes of GTC. I've got a rant coming for you on the USGA. Bob loves it when I get angry in the morning. We'll do some Scully time. Lots coming up. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC, the bonus 30, Weeksy, Zucchino. As we're about to do winners, where to what? Before we do, however, December 1st, if there's a golfer on your list, 12 days of golf are back. Golf Ontario, go to gao.ca. That's gao.ca. Golf Ontario having the 12 days of golf is returning. It's a 12-day online auction. You can bid on tee times at some of the best courses in the province, some private, some public. And all the money, Bob, goes to Golf in Schools program. Your mic, sir. There you go.
There we go. I'm new at this. December 1st, it starts, and runs for 12 days.
Yeah.
Amazing how they call that. The 12 days. It runs for 12 days. But no, there's some really good opportunities there. Some chances that you might not get to play if you're not a private club member.
It's great. Yeah, you get to access some golf courses that you can't just call up and book, and all the money goes to the Golf in Schools program. So if you're thinking about yourself, or you're thinking about a golfer on your list, 12 days of golf, Golf Ontario, GAO.ca. Starts December 1st, and I believe each tee time has like a three-day living window to bid on, starting on the 1st, so it floats over 12 days. Looking forward to it, and I believe Mike Kelly is going to be with us next week to talk about this.
Good.
So Mike Kelly, executive director, going to jump in. All right, time for three dub, winners, weird, or what, and I have the tee.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Well, the truth, Robert, is my winner is Jon Rahm. And not just because this week he won in Europe. He won the final event of the year, the Race to Dubai, and it was a great victory for Jon Rahm. But it's what has transpired in the last 2 years. If we go back to the OHL Classic of Mayakoba in 2015, which yours truly was at, actually called Graham McDowell winning that week in Mayakoba. That was Jon Rahm's kind of first introduction to the PGA Tour. He was ranked outside the top 500 in the world.
Wow.
At that time, okay? Fast forward now to about a year ago, okay? Just at the start of the 2016-17 PGA Tour season, he was outside the top 100 in the world. Well, this week, he is fourth in the official
Amazing.
World Golf Ranking, following only Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, and Dustin Johnson. Wow, what a vault up the world ranking for Jon Rahm. He's won in Europe, he's won in America. Going to be fun. It's got to be him and Serge in Paris as a team.
Well, certainly he looks up to him. He talked all about what the win at Augusta meant for him to watch Sergio do that. So I think there's a lot of inspiration. He's the next great Spanish golfer following in the footsteps of quite a few good
ones. And if you listen to our year in review special, you and I and Skulls were all over him this year.
Yeah.
So looking for big things from Jon Rahm. My weird this week, Las Vegas came out with a line this week. Futures line, Tiger Woods odds to win a major in 2018, 20-1.
Wow.
Are you insane? I am sorry. Listen, We talked about this last week, and we're going to talk about it with Adam Scully coming up in Scully Time in the next segment. If Tiger were to come back this year and win a major, where in the grand scheme of things does this fall on the comebacks of all time? Is it the greatest comeback in the history of sports? We posed that question last week. We'll talk about it with Scully coming up on the other side. But that means 21 to win a major. When you are betting golf and you look at these odds, the favorites are 6-1, 8-1, and then it falls to 18-1, 20-1. Most guys in the field are 40, 50-1, 70-1, 90-1. 20-1, Bob. Are you kidding me? This is a guy that hasn't won a golf tournament since 2013, hasn't finished a round.
He's played 18 events in the last 4 years.
So listen, I know the name carries more weight than any other name has ever carried weight in the history of our game. I get that. Okay, but this is, we got to keep this in perspective. This is a 42-year-old with three to four back surgeries, three to four knee surgeries, hasn't won since 2013. Just slow down here, kids. All right? Unbelievable.
This is the prelude to the rant.
Yeah, that's not the rant. This is the rant. And I, you know, thank God for the USGA and Mike Davis, because every time they stick a microphone in his face, I get something to be upset about. Okay, last week we talked about dialing back the golf ball and Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus, everybody suggesting the ball come dialing back. And listen, I'm not a big fan of dialing it back. I'm a big fan of freezing it like they did with driver technology, right? This is now the limit. We're stopping here. I'm not a big fan of the horses have left the barn. Let's try to put them back in like they did with the anchored putter, like they did with squared grooves, okay? Instead of being ahead of the curve or on the curve, they're always behind the curve, okay? So this is another situation of that. Davis comes out this week and suggests that the damage that this has done to the game of golf, okay, and the cost that's been handed off to the consumer about these big, giant golf courses that have been built because of it. I don't know about you, Bob, but the guys that I play golf with, they're not hitting it abnormally long, making their golf courses obsolete. We're talking about the 0.0001% of the world. And we're talking about like the Dustin Johnsons and the Brooks Koepkas, etc. And I have been screaming about this forever and a day. It's about the setup. You don't need to build an 8,000-yard golf course. 2013 Marion U.S. Open. They grew up the rough. They brought in the fairways. And even par. Justin Rose won an even par at Marion. Okay? Under 7,000 yards long. This year, we had the longest golf course in U.S. Open history. And you could run. You could have landed two 747s side by each down the fairways. They were so wide. And 16 under par one. So why don't you just take a look at the numbers here and realize, stop building 8,000-yard golf courses. Grow some rough. Put some focus on other areas of the game. Make these guys hit it into smaller targets underneath the hole, etc. And even par still stands up out there. This is not rocket science. Of course, Mr. Uihlein, who is the outgoing CEO of Titleist, fired back and said that it was an abnormal growth in the golf community and real estate development that has caused the spike in costs.
You might have a little financial interest there.
Yeah, a little financial, exactly. But again, I am not suggesting the ball hasn't gotten out of control. I'm not suggesting they shouldn't freeze it, is it? But for Mike Davis to kind of pass it off, to that it's done all this. Well, where were you while all this was happening?
They were the ones who came out just this year and said that, well, the average driving distance has only gone up 2 yards.
That's right? What I'm saying. Because if you're talking about the guys we play golf with and the people listening to us, that's what it is.
Yeah.
This is not a factor. So I got an idea, guys. Let's grow some rough and let's challenge the pros week in and week out and not make everything a bombing gouge. And maybe this won't be a problem anymore. All right, Bob, tea is yours.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
Mark is still fuming, steam coming out of his headphones over there next whenever he gets Mike Davis on the brain.
Oh,
well, my winner this week actually kind of rolls into what you were saying, and it's Jeff Ogilvie, who I think is one of the most thoughtful guys out there on the PGA Tour. He had a press conference this week at the Australian Open, no surprise there, and he came out and sort of said he thinks there's a rollback that you can achieve with the golf ball without really affecting the recreational golfer, and I'd like to do that. He thinks it's the way we need to go. He thinks that it's going to happen. There's going to be something that will happen, and he gave the example. He said that when he started playing majors, 300 yards was a massive hit, and now it's actually legitimately short He said mostly he talks about how the distance gains have changed the way we play the course and how it's made Augusta not function as it was intended. So very good and very observant things from Jeff.
Who's Oldwood. A smart guy. And the two things I would add to that, Bob, is that, again, why is it not time for bifurcation? Why not let the pros do one thing, the rest of us do something else?
He says you might be able to achieve it without that, but he sees it as almost inevitable.
And the other thing about technology is, like, week in, week out on the PGA Tour, the fairways are like concrete. They're like cement. And that's not helping things either.
No.
When you see guys play wet fairways, like, maybe we got to start softening the conditions. The greens are cement, fairways are soft. Go get it.
Exactly. Exactly right. My weird this week, I always love my weirds. So
your weirds are
if
the
you
best.
Live on a golf course, you expect that there are going to be probably golf balls that end up in your backyard.
Yes.
And I think for some people it can be a little bit annoying.
Okay.
And that was the case in Maumelle, Arkansas, way down there in Arkansas, where a guy named Bradley French had finally had enough of people hitting golf balls into his backyard. So some guy at the Country Club of Arkansas in Maumelle came out, hit his ball into his backyard. He went to go and get the ball. Well, Bradley French had had enough. He came out of his home with a shotgun, and he told the guy, his name was Sam Williams, to get off his property, and that was according to police. Now, the problem with that is that Sam Williams happens to be the police chief of Maumelle. So he came out, pointed a shotgun at the police chief. He's now facing three counts of aggravated assault. And he also, for some reason, decided to tell the police chief that he worked for the FBI and the DEA, which led to a criminal impersonation charge. Mm. So Bradley French, I would suggest, probably a good move when he gets out of jail to move his
I only
house.
Have one thing to say, Bob. But a ding 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 ding
ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding.
And my what this week? My what is what's going on at St. Francis Xavier University out in the East Coast? There, I want to tell you about a great study that a professor by the name of Sasho McKenzie and his student Neil McInnes published. Now, you know when Jordan Spieth sometimes putts those short ones, he looks up.
Yeah, he looks at the hole,
right? At the hole.
Yeah.
So these two guys got together and did a study that was published this week in the International Journal of Golf Science. Who knew that existed?
Didn't even know that existed.
That actually shows that golfers who keep their eyes focused on where they want the ball to go have a higher chance of sinking the putt than people who keep their head down.
Really?
They found that there is a, not a huge difference, but a significant difference. So if you look at, let's say there's a breaking putt. This is what they tested it on. A breaking putt. If you look at where you want the ball, where the break
the
is going to happen.
The apex of the break.
As opposed to looking down at the ball. You will make the putt 3% more often than you will if you do it the other way around.
And 3%.
Now, that doesn't sound like much.
No, but 3% over a season is like 28 Caesars.
To put that in perspective, McInnes said golfers typically make 33 putting strokes around. You're going to save one stroke around, and that's actually very meaningful for golfers.
That's unbelievable. Well, you know what? It is the only sport in the world, really, if you think about it, Bob. If we're throwing a dart, we're throwing a baseball. You're not staring at your hand, right?
Exactly what these guys said. You look at the target and everything else. But anyway, those folks out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, St. Francis Xavier University have proved it.
There you go, folks. One stroke around. Now I have everybody in their living room this afternoon staring at the leg of their coffee table, just pounding balls off of it. All right, on the other side, Scully time. If Tiger wins this year, is it the biggest comeback of all time? We'll talk about that next. Also, we'll find out who Scully would fill out that foursome with Tiger, DJ, and Trumpy. We'll see his answer on that. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Now, speaking of Muskoka Bay, next week, Bob and I, not next week, sorry, 2 weeks, Bob and I, December the 9th, will be at the WeatherTech Automotive Accessory Store in Burlington for a live on location. Come see us. They're going to open this store an hour earlier at 8 a.m. They're going to kick open the doors. There's going to be, you know, sales, etc. But the first 50 people are going to get WeatherTech paraphernalia.
You're calling it Black Saturday.
Black Saturday. So WeatherTech paraphernalia. And Bob and I are giving away a foursome at Muskoka Bay.
Wow. Nice. All right.
So we got a reason to get there. So Scully time. Now, as we always do at the end of Golf Talk Canada, we bring in our master producer, Adam Scully,
to
get his take on things. And last week, we teased the, if Tiger wins a major, or even if he wins a tournament, is this the biggest comeback in sports history? You know, we are 10 years removed this year from his last major win. Now, he won three times in 2013, so maybe a regular tour event. But if he wins a major, is it the biggest comeback in professional? My buddy Bill Katsopoulos, who's listening to us this morning, just chimed in, wondering, like, if he plays 10 events this year, how many cuts do you think he makes out of 10 tournaments? And does his back hold up? Or at some point this year, are we getting the parking lot news conference?
Do you think it'd almost be not more unbelievable, but what if he contended next week? Like, everything has happened.
It's happened. Like, he's done this in the past at Augusta, but that was a younger man, guys.
But, I mean, it's pot. Like, what if on Sunday, if he's coming down the stretch, if he wins, he's climbing over 1,000 spots in the world rankings, which is just absurd.
He's got no points, right, basically?
Yeah, well, he's 1,100.
Like, the only points he has is from last year at this event.
Yeah,
That's insane.
But if you were to win a major, the sporting comparison that I have continued to make.
What did you get to?
It was when Mario Lemieux made his comeback.
Right.
Starting with a big effort against the Leafs. I remember watching that like it was yesterday.
But he did not win a cup.
No, he didn't win a cup after that. You're right.
But I understand what you're saying. He came back from Hodgkin's disease, and it was a big deal.
Something like, I think he had 76 points in 43 games that year.
Pretty impressive.
Just crazy numbers. And his last year was when Crosby was coming up. So that was sort of the trading of the guard.
So you're not going to relate this to Doug Gilmore's return to the Leafs.
Which lasted about, 7 seconds?
I think it was 7 seconds. Yeah. You're not going to go down.
No.
Here's one I'll throw out. Yeah, you guys, you young kids may not realize this one, but how about Ben Hogan?
After the car crash.
1949, he's in a car crash. Double fracture of the pelvis, fractured collarbone, fractured ankle, chipped ribs, and near-fatal blood clots. Klotz comes back and wins the 1950 U.S. Open.
Could barely walk at that point
because
I believe, Bob, and if you have it up in front of you, I believe that they used to play 36 holes on the Saturday back in those days.
Huh.
And he had trouble walking 18 holes. So not only because of the car crash and all the issues post-car crash, so not only did he come back and win, he had to walk 36 holes when he was almost incapable of walking 18.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
That's a pretty epic. That's up there for sure.
So I don't know, guys. What do we expect this week?
Well, I mean, it's
there's
funny
no
to
cut.
Think. There's no cut, obviously. It's funny the way the world is now because you see President Trump's tweet yesterday, and then there's various Twitter accounts that follow Tiger and are Tiger insiders. And anytime there's a Tiger video, they're going nuts. Mm-hmm. And someone tweeted a video. Probably standing about 30 yards away, and you could see Tiger hit a driver, and people are analyzing his swing and saying his shoulders are in this spot versus last year.
Sure.
I feel like there's more of an expectation this year, as you said earlier in the show, than last year.
There's more optimism.
There's more optimism.
I think so.
I will say this. I'll stick by my original take on this, which was part of our year in review special. I will say that he shoots one round below 75, and the other three rounds will be above 75. And if one of those days they have like a windy day that you can get at Albany Club, there's a chance he shoots 80, 81, or 82. I know you feel a lot differently about this. I'd be shocked, guys, if he put a round with a six in front of it. I really would. And he might feel healthy. Hey, listen, if he plays four rounds of golf without any pain whatsoever,
that's a win.
And shows that he's got some pop in the bat. And make some birdies, like he did the last time around. He led this field in birdies. He also led the field in others. That's what I expect, sloppiness. Mm-hmm. If he does anything like that, I think this is a huge victory for Tiger Woods.
And I'm curious to see what kind of short game he's going to have.
Yeah, that'll be the key, I think, in a lot of ways. We've seen him hit balls, and we've seen him hit the stinger, hit all those good shots, but we haven't seen him on the greens and what the touch is. And that's the tournament stuff he's got to get back to, right? He's still rusty with that. So I suspect he will not finish last in this field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'll be respectable. But I think the interesting question, I think, as we've talked about a couple times, is when are we going to see him after this?
Where do you come next?
Mm-hmm. And the thing as well is, you know, some awkward lies. You know, some shots where maybe 1 foot's out of the bunker, that sort of thing. Something, how is he going to react if he hits it poorly?
And is he athletic enough to do that right?
Right.
Now, right.
Right.
Before we go, we got to wrap up today's show. Skull, curious, because Bob went out with the Tiger, DJ, Trump threesome. Who would you add to that group? Who would be your
Well, favorite? My answer isn't the best, but Trump said he wanted to play quickly. So I think if Ben Crane joined, that would really... sorry, Ben.
Hey, I want to give a quick shout-out.
Yes.
May I?
Yeah, okay, please. I got to give one, too.
Billy Bevington, the head professional at the Oakville Golf Club. He started that job in 1981, and he retired this week.
Wow.
37
what a nice
years.
Run.
Awesome. Billy's a great guy. Oakville Golf Club is a 9-hole facility, but it's a beautiful course.
Nice.
And congratulations to him on a good retirement.
Congratulations and enjoy retirement. Guys, I got to give a shout-out as well to Dr. Jay Petroff, my personal physician, as you all know. He's golfing this morning, November 25th.
It's balmy out there.
He is on his way to Westview Golf Club in Aurora.
Shorts.
And he is pegging it up today. And he played last week as well.
Wow.
There is no start or end to the golf season for Doc. It is always golf season.
That's awesome.
He is a machine. Well done, Doc. Play well. So
that's fantastic.
There you go. That does the show. You said you had a John Rahm note you wanted to
fire. Right. I wanted to show this note before we leave.
Yes.
So comparing John Rahm and Sergio Garcia, their first 37 starts as a pro, Rahm has 3 wins, Sergio at 2.
Mm-hmm.
Both had 3 runner-ups. Both had 16 top 10s.
Wow.
Both had 4 missed cuts. But at this point, Sergio was at 13 in the world, and Rahm's at 4.
Wow.
So it's crazy to think how their career, how Rahm's career
how their
starts
have mirrored.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Good note. All right, Skulls, I will talk to you next week.
Yes.
Bob, next week. Guys, you know what else we need to promote quickly? Or we got 3 seconds left. Let's not forget December. Well, first of all, we have a Christmas special coming up. We're going to unveil the top 18 holes in Canada. There's still time to vote. So hit us up on Twitter, at GolfTalkCanada. What is the best par 3, best par 4, best par 5 in the country? We have taken your votes along with our expert panel. We will unveil the top 18 holes in Canada with our Christmas television special. Also, December 16th, in front of a live studio audience.
It's going to be packed.
It's going to be nuts. It's our annual Festivus special.
Get the pole out of the closet.
Open the phone lines. We will air the grievances. And there may be a few feats of strength along the way as well. So December 16th, Festivus. Thank you so much for listening today. We're back live next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.